Generative artificial intelligence is rapidly reshaping newsrooms, facing fresh questions about trust, accuracy, and the future of journalism as the technology becomes more widely used. I spoke with TJ Thompson, Associate Professor of Journalism at RMIT University.
We can kind of look back at the history of AI, and it has a very long history. So the first kind of generative AI traces its roots back to the 1960s with early chatbots that were very much physical devices and machines, not necessarily digital devices. And you were able to kind of chat with this physical machine and ask it questions and get responses back from early chatbots back in the 1960s. So it has this really long history that AI has been around and been used in different contexts. But then if we jump forward a lot in time to about 2022, 2023, we've seen this kind of really large explosion in what's called generative AI. And it's become a lot more accessible and a lot more easy to use and a lot cheaper for folks to use for your kind of ordinary folks without all the programming background and technical skills, that kind of thing. So we've seen AI become a lot more accessible, and that's allowing journalists to use it in a lot of different ways. So you can use AI in journalism for things like brainstorming and storyboarding, trying to get a sense of how to tell a story or tell a story in a different way. You can use it for editing purposes. You can kind of ask it to edit your work, written or visual, and change it for different purposes. You can also use it to create things from scratch. So sometimes you don't have the ability to go out and be in the field and document something with a camera yourself, and you might ask AI to generate some images or some vision for you to accompany a written story or a textual story that you have, to try to give it another layer, another dimension. So kind of brainstorming, editing, and production are kind of the three big areas that AI can be used in.
What does the future of journalism look like with AI?
Yeah, so if we're quite optimistic and quite idealistic, hopefully AI can be used to make our jobs faster, easier, and or safer. I think those are kind of the key benefits. So if you kind of have to imagine for yourself, if you're a journalist doing investigative reporting and you have, say, 10,000 spreadsheets to look through that have council data for a particular area over a 10-year period of time, it would take you perhaps months or even years to look through all the spreadsheets and try to make sense of what the spreadsheets are telling you, all the data in the spreadsheets across those many years. Ideally, AI could do some of that heavy lifting for us. It could kind of look through all those spreadsheets and rows and columns and crunch those numbers for us, crunch those bits of data, and tell us a story a lot more quickly and easily and efficiently than we could as humans. So I think the efficiency potential for AI is massive. But again, you have to kind of have a human in the loop with it. You can't just let it kind of run wild and free by itself. You have to kind of care for it, cultivate it, nurture it, be there, supervise it, and ensure that it doesn't mess up, because you want to have accuracy and quality and credibility with the information you're putting out to the public.
You said that we found journalists are poorly equipped to identify AI-generated or edited content, leaving them open to unknowingly propelling the content to their audiences. Can you please tell me more about that?
Yeah, so a very, very recent example of this is the cyclone effects that we've had on the east coast of Australia in the last couple of days. I'm coming to you from Brisbane, and we lost power here at my house just because of the effects of the cyclone, the wind, the rains, that kind of thing. So whenever you have disasters or really fast breaking news, you have limited journalists, few journalists who can be out in every part of the community documenting things, telling the stories, because journalists are limited in number. We don't have the resources that we had historically. There's just few of us out there doing that work. And so you have to oftentimes rely on your ordinary people out there showing you vision of here's what the cyclone looks like, here's what the effect looks like, here's what the damage looks like. And it's really hard oftentimes for journalists to be able to assess and verify and evaluate, is this photo or image or video clip that I'm seeing an actual image that's made by a camera that's not misleading or trying to deceive in some way? Or is it, edited with AI or edited in a way that makes it seem kind of dodgy or sus? It is really challenging. There are some tools that journalists can use, and there's some approaches that journalists can use to try to vet and verify this content, but they all kind of have caveats and drawbacks. There's not kind of one easy, simple, fast, cheap solution, unfortunately.
Yeah, so would you say that AI poses a risk for journalists using it?
Definitely, yes. It's kind of this double-edged sword. You have a lot of potential, a lot of possibility, a lot of opportunity for using it to make your work faster and better in some ways. But at the same time, you also have this other side of the sword, the other kind of the equation, where it can mess you up in terms of accuracy, in terms of making up quotes or sources, in terms of representing things that aren't there in real life. So there are some significant dangers and issues with AI, just like there are opportunities for it, I would say.
That was TJ Thompson from RMIT University speaking on the rise of generative AI in journalism.